Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Talking! Talking! Talking!
Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor, we'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes.
Greetings to a Yellow Army podcast on a chilly day. It's St Andrew's Day, Richard.
It is. All the Scottish in my house are out. Actually, no, there's one in his bedroom.
Oh, yeah. See, there's celebrations in your house for St Andrew's Day.
Yeah, we're holding celebrations tomorrow for the 1st of December when the tree's going up.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's early.
Controversial.
Well, St Andrew's Day greetings to listeners north of the border, Gladys and all the other listeners north of the border. Thought about some Scottish ex-girls. I thought about Martin Gritton, of course, your mate
David
Martin Gritton.
Graham, David the G-Force, Graham. As they were known.
Martin Gritton is Glaswegian. David Graham from Edinburgh. Willie Brown from Falkirk.
Oh.
Andy Proven from Greenock.
Oh.
Jim McNichol, yes. Another Glaswegian. But the GOAT of the Scottish players, Dave Caldwell from Aberdeen.
Course. Of course, and probably sometimes bothers listening to this podcast because he still keeps up with the goal.
He certainly does, but I have no hesitation in calling Dave Caldwell the GOAT. And, we'll see if he...
Was that reference to his hair back in the day?
No, he did have a bit of a mullet going on,
didn't
he?
Yeah.
Not sure if he's got it anymore. But happy St Andrew's Day. We've got loads to get through on the podcast. We'll go off in a few minutes. You've been at the press conference this morning.
A very eventful press conference, yes.
I haven't, because I've been covering a South Hams District Council Executive Committee meeting this morning.
Rudy is delighted for you.
Absolutely.
We are in my kitchen, by the way. We haven't been in here for a while.
We haven't. That's what kept me away from the press conference this morning, so you're going to have to fill me in on the details. We'll talk a little bit later on about statements from the owners, about protests, about forums, about...
It's like we've got news to talk about, isn't it? And about Callum Dolan.
Callum Dolan. Is this a spoiler?
Well, hopefully Daniel's put the story up by now.
Tell us what's happened then, Rich.
Callum Dolan has gone back to Fleetwood.
I'm gutted.
Yeah. The 28-day recall has kicked in and he's gone home.
Possibly our best player in the last couple of games while Tom Lapsley's been absent.
Yeah, good job Tom Lapsley's back, isn't it?
The thought of him and Tom Lapsley playing together against Tonbridge and Weymouth was actually quite excitingly for the next few days. But no, what a player he is, Callum Dolan. I hope he gets on well back at Fleetwood.
We'll talk about him a bit later on, but
we'll talk about all of these things a bit later on. A big move for Truro as well, and some FA Vars action coming up this week.
All exciting.
We'll come back to all of that, but first we'll go over to the press conference and we will talk to you again on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So Gaffer, two performances on the road in this last week, two very different performances as well, a kind of underperformance against Dartford, but put right in style against Eastbourne on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's the nature of the game, I suppose, that within the space of a few days that you can played well. When we went, played well first of all, and then a few days later, played not so well. But that's football, because you've got an opposition always that's trying to stop your patterns, your thoughts, and then trying to put their game onto you. I thought we played really well at Haven to get a result there. It was a sort of dogged performance, and then we had the poor game, and then a good game at Eastbourne. I was pleased with the way we played, really pleased. That's how we train, that's how we work to try and get them to that level of passing and moving. And it showed on the day, and it's really pleasing. Hopefully people would have seen what we're trying to achieve on the streaming, and and obviously people that were there, that's what we're trying to achieve, but we're just a little bit inconsistent, but it put us up six places in the league and gave us four more goals. So all in all, other than the coach breaking down, it was a good day.
Tuesday night, it was one of those rare occasions where you got not one, but four quality goal of the month contenders, you would say, by obviously Callum, Brett and Brad.
Yeah, they were all very good strikes, weren't they? Fantastic strikes. And we are asking them to get more shots in. And all of them were not just booted in the direction of the goal. They actually had a little theme about them, like Brad's one, he sort of chopped at and put pace on it, and it sort of dipped. Brett's one dipped from the free kick. It was a great strike from Dolan. He's hit that across the keeper. And then what was the other one?
Brett's one
where he just left it in the corner. That was a great strike. So yeah, four really good goals. And to be honest, there was a lot of other opportunities. I stopped you at the crossbar from a shot. Lewis had a couple saves. So when you put all those shots together, like we do sometimes to show them, you see he was quite potent on the day.
Now, Eastbourne have been struggling recently, and people will say they were down to 10 men, but we were 2-0 up by that point anyway. And even when you made the changes, the players that you brought on came into the game and just slotted in seamlessly.
Yeah, they did. We had a, I think they came out and they had 5 minutes, if you like, but we took over the game, scored the two goals, and I think that they were getting frustrated, that's for sure, because they wasn't really getting anywhere near us, and we were creating chances and already 2-0 up. So there was a bit of frustration. It was a couple of tackles, a couple of yellow cards, and the lad got sent off. But as you know, it's not always easy to break down 10 men, because they have less feeling about getting forward, and they just sit in a bit. To be fair to them, they didn't. They tried to keep going. And then we was able to find the gaps, and you still got to play well to find those gaps, pass and move, and have the opportunities that we had. We had a penalty, 100% penalty decision, where Stubbsy had a header at the far post, and the lad stuck his arm out, but that wasn't given. But anyway, can't complain, because it was a very good result after a very, very long, long trip.
Two games on the road are now followed by two games at Playmore. Next Tuesday, the rearranged game against Weymouth. Beginning this weekend, though, with a tough fixture against the Tonbridge Angels side. Three places, but only 1 point behind us, and having a good season. So a really tough test for United. So.
Yeah, they're in good form, Tonbridge. I don't think they've been beat in the last seven games. And they look strong. They've got a striker in form, if you like. It's quite dangerous, but we've had a look at them, and most of the thoughts is you've got to do what you can do against them, show your strengths, and that will show their weaknesses, and they'll be saying the same to their team. But we mustn't forget there's always two teams out there, and both trying to spoil the opposition's tactics and trying to win the game, and that's what we've got to do. We're looking forward to it. Two home games, because we've had a couple of tough away games, and it'd be nice to you know, play the football that we played against Eastbourne at home in front of a few thousand of our fans.
Do you get a sense when you're standing on the touchline watching the start of a game, which way it's going? Because you said about the consistency, can you tell quite early on, oh, probably this is one of those games or they're on it today?
You look at it that way, that's for sure, but what you know is for experience that it changes, you know, like that. You know, somebody hits a big tackle, drives with it, you know, and all of a sudden you're back in the game and you think, oh, we are up for it, do you know what I mean? But our lads are never not up for it, never. And they're always up for it. And despite what the comments that you hear, we work very hard on what we're trying to do as a group, as a football team. And we work on it, obviously, every day. But, you know, whatever team you are, however well you're doing or however bad you're doing, you know that within a game, there's good bits and then there's bits where the opposition have their bit of time. So when you say, for instance, we had 70-30 possession in our favour, they've had 30. So sometimes that 30 presents itself in parts of the game, but you would say that the team with 70-30 possession should win the game, and that's what we did. But it's sometimes not like that, especially when we was at home early on and we had a few games where we had a lot of possession but lost the game. You know, you've got to put both together. But within a game, you never get 100% everything right, otherwise you'd be coming out 15-0 winners every week. Maybe that's what people want, I don't know.
You took Tom Lapsby off relatively early. Was that because it was kind of job done and you wanted to protect him?
Yeah, exactly that. It was important that he got out there. It's a confidence thing now. You know, when somebody has a few injuries after one another but with a playing in between, obviously it's that confidence of, can I run the fastest, jump the highest, you know. And so that was a good game to get Tom's confidence back. And when he gets it back, he's a great, great player for us. He played his part as well, but as others did, everybody in that game at Eastbourne affected the game. That's the important thing. I thought the new lads done well. They came in, they've come in and done quite well. Done very well. I suppose Archie was new to everybody, and I thought he had a very solid, good game. So pleased with that. Each time you find one of them, you think, oh, great, we've got a player that's a first team player competing for a squad place.
What's his best position, do you think?
Archie's. Well, I don't think Bournemouth know either, but because he's good in. He can play left sided centre half, for sure. He can play left back, as he did, and he can play as a left wing back. So you've got somebody that can, you know, work all them positions. And when he plays at left back and Mox is at centre half, he's got that experience, and Mox has got that, you know, person that can get up and down and support Mox, get up still and then still get back. You know, it's a good little partnership, trying to get little partnerships all over the pitch. And
Dan Martin obviously out at the moment.
Yeah.
That little element of back.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Martin's that far away, but you know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then we had this opportunity because you know, you need cover for Mox as well. You know what I mean? Now, with all due respect, Dan's 5 foot nothing, and no, he's not. He's 5'9" or something. He's not a left-sided centre half. Whereas Archie, at 5'11", 6 foot, can play at centre half. He's got a good leap on him, so we brought him there for that reason as well.
Your teams tend to get better as every season goes on. I think you've always worked hard on that. Really, how frustrating is it sometimes when you know what they're capable of achieving, and we're in this spell at the moment where they do it every three games or whatever you want to call it. Do you get tougher with them, or do you? Is your instinct to get tougher with them,
Your instinct, your experience. You know, some need different things. Somebody needs a rollicking. Somebody else needs some confidence. And you know, you can't always give them confidence. You have to, obviously, you have to judge the right time. But what we know is that eventually, you know, we get them right. We, over the last couple of years, we haven't had a lot of luck with, you know, players leaving and us having to build again. And so Rome weren't built in a day. Sometimes you don't turn somebody into Harry Kane, you know, in a month. But, you know, we help these people because we have a gut feeling when we first bring them in that they're going to be good players for us and get us where we want to be, which is a promotion. So, and we've still got those. Absolutely, we've got those thoughts of the players, and we have to take the pros and cons as they come up.
Can I ask you, there's talk of introducing sin bins into football. Have you seen this? Have you got any thoughts on this? So I think players will be allowed to come back on, a bit like in rugby.
Yeah. Well, as long as they're doing it, not doing it, the managers, I might be in that bin for a little while. But I don't know. They're, you know, people that think about these things, sometimes they've got to come up with something every so often. Now, I think we've messed around with the rules. You know, being someone that's been around a long time in the game, and so every year it seems like we've got to have different rules and regulations and. They stay in for a little while, and then they forget about them, you know. Listen, it is what it is, and we'll take on whatever it is they do. I prefer not to radically change rules, because the, you know, association football, as it was, I think, was a good product, and. It's difficult when some people are making sometimes wrong decisions, they don't mean to, and so you're going to lose somebody for 10 minutes, and then they're now saying if somebody's injured, even if he gets fouled, he's got to go off for a minute, and it's all of a sudden you've got to be thinking of all these things, and the referee's got to be, and it depends what they're giving it, you know, giving it for, and what the rule is for giving somebody a sin bin, and then it's how they interpret it. You interpret it differently to you. You know, we all interpret things differently because it's never a hard and fast rule, is it? You know, so I can't say whether I'm for it or against it until I've seen it. But I think it's a big rule change that's not necessary if you want one. That's your opinion. For that's the first time I've really thought about it. But
one of the things that occurs to me is if you've got a player who's taken off for 10 minutes at the height of a match, he's warm, he's running around, etc. He stands around for 10 minutes before he comes back on.
Yeah.
Does that increase the possibility of that player
getting injured,
yeah. or doing something?
And we're only, you know, let me get it in again. We only get three subs. Everyone else across, you know, the football world get five subs. That's seven. We can only use three. So you're going to start seeing the static bikes again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
where people
that's what I do,
have,
rugby, yeah.
Or you're going to have somebody that's getting these players in the gym, around the back, you know, behind in your dressing room, or on a grass bit, because some of the clubs have got grass bits and they'll keep them warm by doing that. That's now what you're going to have to do. I'll judge it when I see it, but my initial thoughts are, why do we need that? You know, it's a bad foul, you send somebody off. That's how I feel.
Sure. Just quickly back to Saturday, injury-wise, any fresh worries or anybody coming back? You've already talked about Dan.
Interesting. We've... unfortunately, Dolan has been called back. They're struggling at the minute for players, that, you know, because they've had a few injuries, and it was always, you know, you sign a player up until January, but it's always a 28-day recall, and it's 28 days, unfortunately, this. And Lee very much apologising, but we had him for a month. We could get him in the near future, but at this moment in time, they've called him back, and he's done well for us, but it gives somebody else an opportunity. Who else did you say? Who did
you want? Well, I was just asking in general about injuries.
Yeah, well, Ace is still touch and go, really, you know, with his injury. So I don't think there'll be necessarily anybody new this week. And then you're looking after the ones that have played on Tuesday, because, you know, we've had a couple of tough trips, but we'll get them ready and we'll get them flying, because I think they, even though it was a tough trip, I could tell that the atmosphere of the group was good. Nobody was moaning about anything, and that was all. And so we got, you know, once you get that group that are all comfortable with each other and are happy with long trips, happy with their own fitness, if you like, then there's more positives than negatives.
I believe the Supporters Trust are planning a protest after the match on Saturday against the board. Do you have a message for the fans at all?
Difficult to have a message, isn't it? Because whatever you say, some will say that's nice and some will say, no, we don't agree with that. But if during the game the boys put their normal effort in and we get our game going and we score some goals and, you know, we win the game, then at least people would have enjoyed the game. What they do after that is out of my remit, if you like, you know what I mean? It's people got they'll have their views and that, but you know, what can you say? It'd be better, I'm sure there'd be a positive support hopefully during the game. It's a shame when it gets to those sort of levels, and it can't be sorted out, and, you know, some people don't like to be proved wrong. So if you know they got a little bit of negativity about them, then sometimes that negativity stays with you anyway, whether we're losing or winning. But you know, I spoke to all the fans that went to, I tried to get round nearly all of them that were there early at Eastbourne, and just thanked them because I knew how long that trip was. And the club does what it does out of genuinity, if that's the word. You know, they're making decisions that are genuine and not out as I do. But as I say, it's not my remit, so I won't go into it. I'm there to produce a football team that's going to entertain. I think we're the third best goal scorers in the league as far as that was concerned. I know people want us to be at the top at this moment in time, but we've shown enough to know that a little bit of consistency will get us up there. So it'll be a shame, but you know, it is what it is.
Because I don't think any Torquay fan could ever accuse you of not talking to them and fronting up. I think the problem is that the board never really talked directly to the fans.
Well, that's for the board to, you know, make that decision. All I know is that, you know, they're always available for us. When we need to talk to them, of course. Talk to them, certainly George, nearly every day. The big thing is that the respect I have, and Downsy has, for what they actually do. You know, maybe they should tell everybody exactly what they do every day, I don't know, but all I can be is be as honest as I can and say that you got 2, 3, for, you know, like Mel, George, Clark, genuine people. And that's why I've been here. And that's why I've stayed here. And that's why I've been here 5 years. Because actually, if you look at it, we've had success. The first season, you know, I'm the same as I was 5 years ago when we won this league. I'm the same as I was 3-4 years ago when we got to the final and should have got promoted. And then we lost all our players. So, there's, you know, because of we've done so well that people snapped them up, of course. Then we had to rebuild. And the board allowed me to rebuild. So, you know, I don't want to spoil the thunder of what's happening now. I think there's been a good step to engage. But some people won't engage, will they? Because they've already made their mind up, and some will. So at least, you know, the two parties need to be happy about what they're talking about, of course. But I think, you know, we got to keep winning football matches, and we got to win the league. And then when we get win the league, get promoted, we can look back at it and see, you know, who we've kept, which fans we've kept, and which ones we haven't. But I'm telling you now, the board and this football club is a genuine football club. And don't forget how long I've been around and how many football clubs and how many chairmen and CEOs and, that I've been with. So be careful, you know, what you wish for, because there's some genuine people.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
So good chat with Gary this morning.
A couple of interesting chat with Gary. Obviously, he revealed about Callum Dolan. Karen Dolan?
Karen Dolan? Have you got a sister called Karen?
He might well have. He popped his head in.
Did he?
After the tapes had stopped rolling, as we like to say in the business.
Tapes rolling.
And we were having a discussion about other things, us journos and Gary and Aaron. He popped his head in and Gaffer basically said, yes, I've heard. I'll come and have a chat with you in a minute. Didn't look happy.
See, I think he's been enjoying it here, judging by his Twitter feed. He's been playing so well. He scored a cracking goal.
I think he's a bit gutted that he's going back. Not to say that he probably will enjoy himself if he's playing on Saturday,
sure,
but I think he'd like to have stayed a bit longer, done a bit more.
I mean, he's a good player. I mean, both of them, both the lads from Fleetwood. Theo Williams is a good player in there.
Yeah.
We haven't quite seen it yet, but he nearly got a goal up at Dartford on Saturday.
If you can hear any strange noises, it's my dog licking my hand.
Yeah, it's slightly disconcerting, Rich, but we'll move on swiftly. So the elephant in the room then, well, there are a couple of elephants in the room.
Yeah.
I'm not being rude about your dog.
One of them is, you know.
Bertie's a sturdy lad these days, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, but let's talk about Clark Osborne's statement in the...
You're not going to call it an interview?
Not really.
No.
In another part of the local press, we need to divorce two things here, Rich. We have misgivings about it, but on two grounds. One, I'm stamping my little feet because I didn't get the interview with Clark Osborne. I expect you are as well.
No.
No?
No. I'm pleased that he has finally, like I said in my column, which I...
Your column is excellent, by the way. It's in the Herald Express. It's also at Devon Live.
I am pleased that he's given an interview to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised it's the Torbay Weekly. And Jim Parker, who is our former boss, of course, at the Herald Express, has conducted it. I'm not surprised about all that because they've had a cosy relationship since the newspaper launched. I don't think that's unfair to say that.
Well, Torbay Story, which is the sponsor of the away kit, is a project that Jim's heavily involved in.
Yeah.
It's a promotion of Torbay on the wider government playing field and has been very successful.
Now, if I was Jim, I would have kept my powder dry and just released the interview when the paper came out, because by releasing a tweet saying that the interview was going to be in this week's paper, this Thursday's paper, it gave me the opportunity to write that column because I knew it was going to happen. And it gave me the opportunity to list the questions that had to be asked and hopefully answered.
Yeah.
None of those questions were asked.
Well, so, I mean, run me through again, Richard, your thoughts on what the actual key questions are that we still need answers to.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going to close the door. Hang on a second.
I'll keep talking while you go over and close the door. Because, as you say, there were, you know, there were questions that were unanswered, and you listed them in your piece.
The key ones are basically, you know, what's happened to the five-year plan?
Mm-hmm.
The five-year plan was obviously put into practice when they took over. COVID happened as well, so there's a, you know, but we'd just like to know where we are on the five-year plan.
Yeah.
Are they still looking to build a stadium somewhere? Well, I guess they are. I think he did answer that one.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if the club doesn't go up this season? Does it go part-time? Now, I did note that was addressed in the interview. However, it was addressed in brackets as if he didn't actually say it, but it was inferred. So they won't go part-time, apparently. Will they be able to have a fan on the board, which was promised, you know, at some point?
Yeah.
Would there be an opportunity for a trust to work closer with the board? Will there be a fans forum? What happens if the money dries up? Those are the kind of questions I was hoping that would be asked and possibly answered.
I think that the questions about fans' involvement are very important.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. What would happen if Gaming International want their money back? I mean, it's not as simple as having shoveled £6 million into, because, you know, they're a big enterprise and they move money around between themselves.
Yeah, now, you know, I just think there is the lack of communication is deafening, for want of a better cliche. This wasn't communication, really.
No.
I don't think if they think that's going to help, if the people who run the club think that statement in the newspaper yesterday is going to quieten fans or stop them thinking, making things up, even, you know, because when there is no communication, you leave a massive void for people to make things up.
A vacuum of stuff rushes in.
Yeah,
and I wonder to what extent the statement and the offer of an online fans forum has come as a result of the support trust.
I hope it has. I hope that they've had a little think and thought, well, at least we can try and do some kind of fans forum.
Yeah.
Although I note that it's not face to face.
No. But I mean, on that, I did jot a couple of things down on
okay,
that.
Okay, you read them out. I'll go and get that bloody dog.
If you're going to ask the questions in the online forum, focus those questions, because they'll only get round to answering half a dozen questions, probably.
Yeah.
Make sure that we all ask the same half dozen questions or as close as we can.
I think we all know what the questions are.
If people go rambling off and say, Clark, what's your favourite colour? And would a badger or a baboon win a fight between the two? Like they used to in Smash Hits and things like that. We're not going to get anywhere.
So which would win a fight between a badger and a baboon?
It's a good question. Very good question. Badgers,
and what is Clark's favourite colour?
Yellow, obviously.
It's got to be, yeah.
But it has to be focused. The same questions that, you know, people have got, the same half dozen questions. If people go off at a tangent, then the club will be, they've just got too many questions.
Don't give easy questions for them to be able to choose.
Exactly. So be polite, be respectful, but be focused.
Yeah.
And let's ask the same questions so that we have to get answers to those questions.
So will you be sitting in this weekend?
Will I be sitting in?
Yeah, as in the sit-in at the end of the sit-in process.
I will certainly be there. I will be hopefully interviewing people at the sit-in.
You're going to be walking around.
It's fudging the question.
You're
going to
be walking around,
yeah.
Not sitting in.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's got a right to protest.
Yeah.
I imagine the club will allow the protest to run its course before trying to enter the ground.
They'd be unwise to do anything else, really.
No.
Just let it take its course. It's 15 minutes of some people shouting at an empty director's box.
But I think it's very, very important that, regardless of the result on Saturday, that for the good of this continuing campaign to get some supporter recognition, that the protest is respectful.
Of course.
I don't mean we all have to stand there and, you know, wring our hands and say, please listen to us, but it has to be done properly. If people go flying off the handle and shouting and swearing, which did happen at Dartford on Saturday, that is not going to progress. You know, it might help people get things off their chest, but it's not going to progress the course.
I did talk to Nick Broderick, who is, of course, the chairman of the trust of Tust, about this. I did question him a couple of times about what happens if I mean, they've written to the stewards. The stewards supposedly know, the police know, the club knows, the council knows, everyone knows, Rudy knows.
Rudy knows.
Everyone knows what's going to happen. But what happens if I'm not saying it's been decided or not, but if the stewards want to move people on before that 15 minutes is up?
It would get extremely tense and extremely awkward.
Yeah. And which is why I don't think it's a good idea, because I think there is too many possibilities for things to go slightly pear-shaped.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to play into that kind of situation, if you know what I mean. By all means, protest in other ways. I suggested going to Brixham and watching them in the FA Vars. I mean, you know.
That would help your local club, wouldn't it? Yeah, or help a local club.
But I don't think a sit-in's the right way to go personally, but I will defend the Talk United Supporters Trust's decision to do a protest.
And, you know, anybody who thinks that, anybody who's critical of the Supporters Trust doing it needs to sort of think about what it is that's brought them to this point.
The Supporters Trust. I asked the question in that column, you know, is this what happens when you take fans for granted?
Yeah. And the Supporters Trust is not a bunch of young lads in Stone Island, is it? The Supporters Trust is a bunch
I'd like to see Nick in Stone Island.
It's a bunch of well-meaning, thinking people. Most of them of quite mature years, let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these aren't hotheads.
No.
These are people who aren't, who won't think of mounting a protest without thinking about
passionate,
it.
Passionate, intelligent people who have been ignored for too long.
Precisely. And there was a promise of fan representation on the board, and as of yet...
Nothing.
Can you say as of yet? As yet, that promise hasn't been fulfilled.
Let's talk about football.
Let's talk about football. I went to Dartford on Saturday.
How was that, guy?
Awful. I was in London. There. I was visiting family in London. I thought, I'll get the train over to Dartford.
Yeah.
Watch a game.
I went to Dartford once. I got fined because I didn't realise it was at the end, after the end of the tube tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I described the performance at Dartford in my report on Radio X as feeble, and I would stand by that. It was awful. I know there were some
worst
people,
performance of the season?
The worst I've seen, for sure. The worst, I mean, it was marginally worse than Western Supermare, put it that way.
I'm just picking up a dog, sorry. We're doing our best to keep them quiet.
It was a strange afternoon. It's a lovely little club, by the way.
It's a lovely little ground. And I mean, it's probably aged a bit since 15 years ago or whatever when I went, but it was a nice little ground.
Great view from anywhere in the ground.
Yeah.
Stewarding, everything very friendly, very welcoming. It ticked all the boxes apart from the match itself.
Yeah, it didn't sound good, Guy, I have to tell you.
Do you know what? One thing, I'm staying off the pitch for a minute.
By the way, I got you. I didn't realise you were in that photo I put in the paper.
I'm there with my orange hat.
Yeah, I didn't realise you were in it because you obviously know the way that the paper's put together. When you drop a photo in, it's not quite the quality that you'll see later on. So I dropped it in and processed it.
Was I pixelated?
You were pixelated at the time. Obviously, that's not how it comes out in the paper, but you were at the time when I looked at it on my screen. So I didn't notice you in your beret.
I was there, mate. I was there. But the interesting thing was that the Dartford fans and the Torquay fans were in two groups side by side on the terraces behind one goal.
Yeah.
Separated by a couple of very good-natured stewards in high vis.
Excellent.
Absolutely no bother whatsoever.
Good stuff.
It was a cracking football away day experience, apart from the actual match.
Yeah. So what went wrong on the day, Guy, and then what went right at Eastbourne?
Hard to tell. I mean, Dartford, the whole of the second half and the first half hour of the game was really even. They were two pretty poor sides scrapping without very much intent. But there were 15 minutes where Torquay just fell completely to pieces and Dartford did everything right. They scored three goals, and there's no way we were coming back from that.
It's a long way to go for a game like that, isn't it? Yeah. If you're a fan or even if you're a player. What went right at Eastbourne?
Hard to...
Five changes. Remember very often Gary making five changes.
No.
Now, some of them I think were a reaction to Dartmouth, obviously. Dartmouth. When we're beaten 3-0 by Dartmouth, then I will really be worried.
On Saturday, Torquay would not have beaten Dartmouth.
Although Dartmouth are at a bit of a low ebb at the moment. Yeah, so.
Even so. Two words that sum up why Torquay were better on Tuesday.
Go on.
Tom Lapsley. Well, he only managed an hour, but...
He only took him off because it was job done. He says that in the interview. I said to him, you know, is that why you took Tom Lapsley off? And he went, yep.
I have figures that prove your point about Torquay being better.
When Tom Lapsley's playing.
With Tom Lapsley this season, we've played... This is league games only.
Okay.
We've played 13 games. We've won 9, drawn 1, lost 3. That's 28 points out of a possible 39, 71.8% success rate.
Wow.
Without Tom Lapsley, we've played 6, won 1, drawn none, lost 5, 3 points out of 18.
Wow.
16.67%.
That's an extraordinary set of figures.
Proof... Yeah. That Tom Lapsley makes
us. So when I've been writing, Torquay are never as good without Tom Lapsley as they are with him.
You're absolutely,
absolutely right. I don't think it's, you know, it's
not a coincidence. I mean, it's not just Tom Lapsley. But much as we love him, it's not just Tom Lapsley. But it's no coincidence. He when he's in the midfield, it makes it harder for other teams to get through that midfield, and he does create things for us as well.
And isn't it great now that we got Tom Lapsley playing alongside Callum? Oh, damn it.
If only. If only. But, I mean, there were good things. Like you said, before Dartford, the injury list was Dawson, Jarvis, Holstead, Lapsley, Hansen, Krask, Martin and Donnellan. Dan Martin, by the way, the forgotten man of Playmore.
Could be back soon, apparently.
Good. Yeah. Good. Holstead and Lapsley both back for the Eastbourne game. Don't think Reece Lovett did much wrong.
No. Doesn't fill you with as much confidence as Holstead does, but then Holstead's a very good goalkeeper.
He is a very good goalkeeper. So, I mean, those were the key things. Shooter McGavin is on superb form at the moment.
So, did you watch the game on the stream?
No, I watched the highlights. I was covering an Exeter City Council meeting on Tuesday night.
How jolly much
fun. It's
been
a busy week, mate. Right. Busy week.
You weren't covering an Exeter City 0-0 draw then?
I was not. No, it was Exeter City Council. It's Executive Committee at Exeter as well.
What a great life you lead.
Four goals, all from outside the box.
Yeah, I can't remember four goals being scored all from outside the box in one game. That was extraordinary. They were great strikes, all of them.
I'm giving Brett McGavin the free kick because it was right on the line, but it must have been outside the box or it would have been a penalty.
Yeah, no, so, it was right on the line.
So they're all outside. Yeah. Brad Ash's goal was the best of the four, I thought.
Good on him as well because he's been working really hard. And if I hear Dom and Ian say how hard Brad has been working in there. Brilliant. I switched to Talk United from Radio Devon. Sorry, Radio Devon guys, but I do like Dom and Ian's commentaries. So I've been listening to you guys. And they constantly are going on about how well Brad Ash, how hard he's been working up front and not getting a goal. It's good to see him get that goal. What a sweet goal. It was
a beauty. And another thing on Brad Ash, going back to the debacle of Dartford for a moment, after the game, all got a bit angry for a while after the game. But players and Aaron Downs, Gary Johnson, obviously, as he said before, if he comes across, he thinks he's just going to make things worse.
I can understand that. Yeah, yeah.
Aaron Downs came over a certain part of the way. A lot of the players came over a certain part of the way. Brad Ash made it into the 6-yard box. He came right over to the fans. but Dean Moxie and... Thank you, boys. Dean Moxie and Asa Hall actually came across to the rails.
Oh, sorry.
It was because I mentioned Dean Moxie.
It was. He's a favourite.
They love him. They love him, those boys. But they came across to the rails, had a chat with the fans. I didn't hear what was going on. That's not on Arsene Wenger. I didn't hear what was going on diplomatically. I was genuinely too far away. I didn't hear what was going on.
I'm sure they were, you know...
That was just, interesting.
Chose the right words.
Interesting that they came across. But anyway, back to the Eastbourne game. Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, it is so strange. This season, more than any other, 1 minute you're thinking, wow, this team is atrocious. Yeah. And then the next game you're thinking, wow, this team are world beaters. I mean, we're only playing Dartford and we're only playing Eastbourne Borough and we're only playing Tunbridge Angels, but we can only play who's in front of us this season. There is a case made by some people that we should be beating everyone 4-5-0, but it's not the way football works sometimes.
That theory that we came up with...
I mean, Yeovil have had a little slip now, haven't they?
Well, since we beat them.
Yeah.
But that theory that we came up with in a couple of podcasts ago about... Oh, in fact, it might have been the last one. About we should be really enjoying this because we're sixth in the league, we're still in a cup, we're scoring loads of goals, we've got two winnable home games coming up, we should be absolutely on the crest of a wave, but we're not.
I don't want to remind Gary of something that he got wrong, but he did point out when we were ninth or whatever, and then we dropped down to 12th after he said it, but he did point out that it might be some time before we're back in the top seven.
And there we are. And there we are.
One game later. It's amazing how you can go up six places with one win. Now, I know there was only one other game on the day, and Maidstone are now second.
I know.
What is going on with this division?
But it does mean that if Maidstone can get up there, we can get back up.
Yeah. We're not that far away. Look at the table. We'll have a good think.
That's it. So we look ahead to Saturday. Tonbridge Angels.
Yeah.
Who we've played once before.
Do you know what?
And we lost.
What it is about Tonbridge Angels is I think of the weeping angels in Doctor Who. You know, those angels that move towards you when you've got your eyes, when you're looking away. So let's hope they play like that, because if... If
they're cast in stone like that, then that'll be good. We'll get round them. Do you know, it's our first league game at home since Yeovil on November the 7th.
Yeah, it's been a long wait, isn't it?
It has.
I haven't played that time.
But Tonbridge Angels are on an 8-game unbeten run.
Is it 8? Is it Gary eight said he thought it was 7, but
he might be
is
right.
It?
I thought.
No, that's all right. I mean, I didn't check his quote. I just used his quote. So.
We played December 2021. We lost to them in the FA Trophy.
Yeah.
Danny Wright scored for us.
Yeah, back in the days when you thought of Tonbridge Angels as a team that you were only ever going to meet in a cup competition or a trophy.
But they're up to ninth now. They're only 1 point behind us.
Yep.
They're on a little bit of a run.
Yeah. They've got a couple of guys that are scoring goals as well.
And they've just signed Obed Yeboah.
Yeah, from Truro.
And he is the nephew of Tony Yeboah.
He is. Yeah.
You knew all this, didn't you?
Well, I knew that he was, because obviously I do work on the Cornish papers, but...
But he's decent. He's a striker. He's been playing in a poor Truro side.
Yeah, very poor Truro side. I know Paul Warren a little bit, and I've interviewed him on occasions. I bet he's not happy.
No. Do you think he's going to try and hammer one in off the underside of the bar like his uncle did?
Yeah, maybe. Goal of the season contender, maybe.
As long as we're 4 or 5 up by then. Yeah. But Mark Holster won't want to.
It won't be better than Brad Asher, sir.
Oh, no.
No.
Absolutely not. They were all such good
goals. They were great goals.
Let's not dwell on the wonder.
If that's the last thing Callum Dolan does for us, then what a goal.
I wonder if he'll come back. There's nothing to say
can't come back later on in the season, and I think Gary would want him back. From the look at his face this morning, I think he'd like to come back. But then, of course, he might go there, score a couple of those goals for them, and suddenly he's in the team and he's playing in League One. So,
the little run of games that he's had in the Torquay team.
Oh, Rudy.
With lots of little twists and turns and drag backs. I'm not sure what the name is for that thing that he does.
Yes, I know what you mean.
He drags the ball back under his feet and then twists around and moves off in the other direction.
Yeah.
Which is very clever. And he did two of them in a row in the game that we won against Yeovil. And I've never seen anybody do that before.
I've got a dog in my face.
You've got a dog in your face. I can vouch for that. listeners, you can't see what I can see. Richard has a dog in his face. We follow the Tonbridge Angels game on Tuesday with home to Weymouth.
Yeah, this is one of those games. That was the game that was postponed because they were playing a Dorset County Cup game. Really?
I don't even know who they were playing. No. We never bothered looking it up, did we?
Probably someone like, I don't know.
They're 18th, but they've only lost 1 in 7.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it?
So they're going,
and of course, it's Brad Ash's former club. He was with them last year.
Keelan O'Connell is there.
He is. I liked him. It's a shame he never really...
Didn't really get a run in. Or when he did get a run in the team, he didn't really quite do enough to impress, did he? Yeah. So we'll see what he's like. A little Keelan O'Connell fact. When we beat them 3-0 on March the 26th, 2022, with goals from Stephen Wern, Armani Little and Danny Wright, Dean Moxie, Tom Lapsley, Mark Holstead and Dan Martin were in the Torquay team.
Wow.
And Keelan O'Connell came on a sub.
Right.
So he's played on both sides of that particular
one.
We've played them 10 times before and we've won 8 of those.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Let's not let that slip.
Oh, goodness, no.
But theoretically, by 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, we could be third or fourth.
Yeah. Theoretically, yeah.
Theoretically. I mean, still there's rumbling discontent.
Well,
understandable.
There is rumbling discontent, but I think it's fired by the fact that there's discontent about the board sometimes spills over into the team.
Mm.
Oh no, there's the postman.
We might have to pause this for a moment then.
Let's see how long it takes them for them to realise. Gary is right when he said that, you know, we are sick from the table and not that far off of being second at the moment. It's not a bad place to be.
And that's with a team that hasn't currently got Kevin Dawson, Aaron Jarvis, Ryan Hansen, Finney Crass, Dan Martin or Sean Donnelly.
And Asa Hall.
And Asa Hall, of course, yes, because he missed Tuesday, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he put a lot into Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, the worst bit about Dolan going back is now we literally have a midfield to choose from of two because of the other injuries, which is obviously Brett McGavin and Tom Lapsley.
Because Callum Dolan came in to replace Will Jenkins-Davis, didn't he? And now we have neither two. And we have Tom Lapsley, who is 60 minutes fit, maybe 90 minutes fit. Not
completely fit. Put it this way, I think if you had a team that was winning and you could keep the same team and the stats didn't show you that you are much better with Tom Lapsley in it than without, then I think Tom Lapsley wouldn't be playing at the moment because he probably wouldn't be fit and deemed fit enough.
So in theory, are we possibly without Asa Hall Saturday?
I think so, yeah.
We are possibly without Ryan Hansen, who would fit in there, and Sean Donnellan.
And Sean Donnellan. I don't think... Obviously, Sean Donnellan has played at right back and this season as well, but he can play in midfield, so that's why I've added him as midfielder. I don't think we're going to get any further injured players back, so I think this is it. This is it.
So the midfield is a little bare.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Although we've got lots of wingers.
We have lots of wingers. We could always...
And you could always drop Lewis Collins into midfield, I think.
Who'd you play up front with Brad Ash, though? Then?
Well,
you play Jack Stobbs up alongside
Williams,
him.
You play Williams, don't you?
Play Theo Williams up there.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure Theo Williams is... Isn't... I think Theo Williams is the kind... I'm sure Gary would do this if he had the luxury of doing it. He's a player to bring on off the bench. I'm not sure he's quite at a stage in his career where he starts up front yet. Yeah. But if he goes and scores a couple of goals, I'll be very happy to apologise to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think... Sounds outrageous, this, but I don't think the squad's too bad at the moment. It's just bloody injuries.
It is, and we need a midfield player.
Yeah, we need a midfield player. Without that. To replace Mr. Dolan.
Here comes
the
postman.
I would discount... a return for Will Jenkins-Davis.
WJD, is he fit again?
Well, apparently he... I don't know. I'm not going to... I don't know, but I think he might be back soon.
Well, Gary did say when he went back to Plymouth...
That he wanted him back. Yeah. Now, if he's fit...
And we have a hole in the midfield.
Yeah, we're trying to talk over dogs barking at a post.
People will love this. People love your dogs, Rich. They absolutely love them.
My neighbours don't.
But Posty is bringing your Christmas presents. I'll keep talking while you go and do things with the door again.
There we are.
Because, to be honest, we've reached that point in the podcast where we lean heavily on Julian.
Yes.
I was going to mention this anyway. Terry Venables died at the week. I need to say passed away. That's one of my pet hates. That when I started as a journalist all those years ago, they said you never ever say passed or passed away. You always just say somebody died. It's more respectful.
Of course, it is, because that's what's happening.
Exactly. But even the BBC said today that Terry Venables has passed away. Well, not Ted this week. So I'm not going to do that. Terry Venables died this week. Very sad. Big character. Great character. Wrote Hazel. Do you remember Hazel?
Yeah. There was a photo of him this week after the news of him sitting. So I guess it would be Euro 96 or maybe around that period. But him sitting shirtless drinking a beer at a table with some of the players. And I just thought, what other football, what other England manager would ever have done that?
No, no. Possibly. No. You could see,
I mean, you can't see Gareth doing it, can you?
No, you can't. Certainly not shirtless. No. You could see Bobby Robson sitting there drinking a beer with the players. Yeah. Possibly even Roy Hodgson sitting there drinking a beer with the players, but not shirtless.
not quite in the same way that he pulls it off.
And Julian reminds us that it was Terry Venables who gave Steve Bould his two England caps. Yeah. He played nine games for us on loan from Stoke City.
Yes, before he went to Arsenal.
And as well, also points out, there's a very interesting FA Cup tie coming up this weekend. There's quite a few, actually. But Horsham got back into the FA Cup, having been beaten by Barnsley.
That's right.
They're back in because Barnsley fielded an ineligible player.
Yeah.
They're playing Sutton in the second round.
Yeah.
Decent game, that. There will be three ex-goals available for selection. Well, they'll be in the squad anyway. Right, one of them may have already played somewhere else. Cadell Daniel is there.
Okay.
Shaquille Colthurst is there. Yeah. And there was a story that Julian found for us the other day which said that Dulwich Hamlet were announcing that Elliot Romain had left Dulwich Hamlet to concentrate on interests outside football.
Okay.
Which presumably means joining Horsham, because that's what he's done. He's a bit harsh on Horsham.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's played in the cup for Dulwich Hamlet. He may have done already.
Yeah.
But Elliot Romain, Cadell Daniel and Shaquille Colthurst are all at Horsham.
All three of those players back.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Horsham back in the cup. They got a draw, didn't they, in the first round?
I can't remember, but I know that someone in the back room made a mistake somewhere, and that's terrible. And yeah. You've got to feel sorry for them, haven't you?
They were swept aside, I think, in the replay. So that's the cup action. Truro, interesting news from our friends down the road.
Truro have been taken over
by a Canadian consortium
who also run the Cornish Rugby League team that has been professional for 2 years.
This is interesting.
They play at the third level of rugby league.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cornwall is a hotbed of rugby union, but the South is certainly not a hotbed of rugby league.
No. There have been rugby league teams around.
Yeah, well, they are a professional team.
Good stuff. It'd be interesting to see what happens. They've pledged to take Truro back to Cornwall.
Yeah, well, at the moment, the rugby league team is playing at Penryn. Penryn. Don't know if that's a possibility. The stadium for Cornwall is still up in the air. Apparently, about once every 3 months, they're about to start digging the ground, and then it doesn't happen. It's been reduced in size. It's a much smaller project than it ever was originally when it first came up. But that's where they're hoping that Truro will play.
Yeah.
Alongside Cornish Pirates.
Cornish Pirates.
And probably now Cornwall. They're called Cornwall
Rugby League.
Rugby League, yeah.
And it was Peter Masters that had had Truro for donkey's years, hadn't he?
Yeah, and then they got bought out by Cornish Pirates. There's an interesting side to this story. Now, I don't want to go too far into it, but Cornish Pirates owner, the company that owns the Cornish Pirates and did own Truro, launched a crowdfunding thing to save both clubs, etc., and put money into both clubs. People signed up, have pledged their money, but now they've sold one element of that package.
Yes, of course.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. What if you put some money in because you thought it was going to the football club and now the football club's gone?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Questions, I mean, questions to ask. Yeah.
Legal minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see that they're going back to Cornwall. I'm very happy that they're not going back to Cornwall.
They won't go back to Cornwall yet, will they?
Yeah, I'm happy they're not going back before New Year. Because it means if we want to go and see Torquay play, and we've only got to go down to Plymouth and not go all the way to Penryn or Truro or Camborne or wherever they end up.
Penzance or Land's End.
There are a lot of good rugby grounds down there.
There are, yeah.
I'm not sure if any of them can be repurposed, though, for dual use. If I remember rightly, the Penzance rugby ground is a proper old-fashioned, long grass, mud in one corner rugby ground. You've got a dog in your face again. Yeah. So I'm not sure you'd be able to play football on that. And finally, as they say on the news, the FA Vars.
Saturday,
Wall Park.
Yeah.
Brixham AFC.
Yeah.
There, see, I got it right for once. Against Downton.
Abbey.
Not the Abbey.
Downton, not the Abbey.
Huge game for Brixham.
Yeah, no, it is a great game for Brixham. Third round. They got to the fifth round last year, so hence is why they came into the competition this season so late, because they were one of the last 16. To get to the fifth round again would be brilliant, but Downton are a decent side.
This is not a free pass, is it? No. Way? I mean, no. They're on the same level in the pyramid, aren't they?
No, they're one below, but then that's what Brixham were last season, so...
It's not a free hit.
They're to be shot at once you get up to the level that you were playing at, or playing against.
Quite a game. Yeah. If you're not going to play more for whatever reasons...
Charlie Johansson's not playing because he got a red card in that game you went to watch.
He did.
Yeah.
And what a daft red... Charlie, if you're listening, what a daft red card it was. He came on a sub, he picked up two yellow cards in very quick succession.
Yeah. And then misses a Vars game, and that was a Devon Bowl game.
And misses the Vars game.
Yeah, shame.
As well, which is...
good player.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, he's a game changer.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have others. They have other game changers.
All they do.
They have some terrific players, Brixham. And to get into the next round again... So if you're going, it's a lovely ground, facilities are terrific, the view is great.
And you can have a beer while you're watching the game.
They'll make you very, very welcome at Brixham, they always do.
Good stuff.
I think we've talked for quite long enough.
I think we've bored the dogs.
We have, we've bored the dogs into silence. Yeah. We've probably sent some of our listeners to sleep. Happy St Andrew's Day, as we say. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the game Saturday.
It will. Fingers crossed it'll all be fine.
Much will depend on the result.
I've written the preview, which will go in the Western Morning News Saturday and will be online tomorrow already. I've just written it before you came over, and I said exactly that.
Yeah.
It will depend on how the result, how Torquay play. It could almost be a little celebratory kind of 15 minutes rather than an awkward one.
The protest will happen. The tone of the protest depends on what happens on the afternoon. Yeah.
And that's not really fair on the team, but
no.
The team got to win anyway. So
I know. It's it kind of increases the jeopardy around the game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But hey, that's what we're here for. And pontificating, as we like to do, it's football.
You know,
we're mildly disgruntled supporters of a National League South team. Yeah. It's not Gaza.
It's what you get.
So let's keep it.
You
all
know
in
that little dog that's barked all the way through this podcast, and now we're about to finish.
He's falling asleep.
He's fallen asleep on my knee. Yeah,
it's rather charming though.
That little puffy little paw there. Look.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you at Plainmoor before, during, and after the game.
And after
on
Saturday. Like I said in my column, I'm there 15 minutes. After the game anyway, because I've got about 800 typos to iron out before I send it to Dan.
And I'll be there hunting for people to interview. Yeah. So there we go. But the message that we finish with is always the same. We always support the club. We always support the team. And we finish as ever. Come on, you yellows.
Woof, woof.
Come on, you yellows. Flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows.